everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is May 19th, 2018, and we're here live for the next 2 hours. It's going to be another great show like they always are. Last week was a doozy, wasn't it, Trey? Trey, you need your mic over here, buddy.
Let's get your mic set up so you can
chitter-chatter with each other here. Yeah, last week we had a great Mother's Day show, and all the ladies had a good time.
I tell you, those ladies were fantastic and knowledgeable.
That's right. They're all expertises in their own fields there, huh?
I thoroughly enjoyed having them in even though they embarrassed the crap out of me. Thanks, girls.
Well, today is going to be no different. Even though the ladies aren't here, we're going to have an excellent show. So let me give you some highlights as to what's coming up. But before I do that, as always, I go to CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron. I get my Fresh Joe, cup of coffee, tastes great every time, it's consistently good every time, and they've got this special going on, 2 28-ounce Gatorades for $3, so go check them out, say hi to Becky and all the girls there, get your smokes, your cigarettes, whatever it takes to get your day rolling at Hilltop CEFCO in Cameron. Also, we're simulcasting here on KMIL 105.1 FM right here in Cameron, and also KRXT out of Rockdale at 98.5 FM. Give us a call here at the studio at 254-697-6633. If you want to become part of the show, got a question, comment, story, situation in real life, whatever. We'd love to hear what you got going there. So until then, let me tell you what's coming up on the show today. Today I'm going to be sharing with you two personal stories that in my perception at those moments were real. It'll show you how you always fall back on your training. So I had some conversations going on with some friends, and these stories came up again. I've told these stories a few times on different stations, but I'm not really sure if I told it on this station, so I will do a couple of them here. The License to Carry Attorney segment will have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson here to go over common and not so common legal terms and what they mean, because it makes for better conversation and understanding if we know what those terms mean and actually how to say them properly. So he's going to square us away on that. Once again, the delicious Janae Goodman. She's going to give us more tactical snacking tips and tell us how to get our gardens in shape and how to put our beds to sleep. At 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the man of manners, the communicator of common sense, the epitome of encyclopedia and all-around good guy, Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight is the Ruger PC9 and 9mm. What you need to do is go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page there, and you're going to see some pictures. We had a listener send in a picture of his son shooting the PC9, says he loves it, and get to see it there. Get some information off the tag. They've got it at ANC Firearms. Give them a call at 254-983-4417. ANC sponsors the program in part, and they have that rifle there for you at 254-983-4417. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, take a look at it there. There's going to be no interview today, since there's some articles I wish to discuss with you later on in the show, so we'll check that out later. Then to close up, Master Cindy Key, owner of Centex Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, will proceed to teach you personal defense by demonstrating on me here in the studio. So, without further ado, let's get started with the show, and I want to talk to you about some true stories. And normally I get them out of the Concealed Handgun Magazine or the American Rifleman, but I've had a couple of my own. And now let me make something very clear. Perception of threat. I always talk about perception of threat. You perceive things in a certain way. It may not end up being that way, but at the moment, if you perceive it that way, it is that way. So I'll give you an example. Although these two incidents I'm going to tell you about were not real in the conclusion of the matter, they were real to me at the moment of them happening. So let me tell you story number one here. Story number one is very simple, basically. Being the person who I am, trying to be prepared all the time, honing my senses, learning my skills, practicing, so on and so forth. When I go to bed at night, I go to sleep in a very extremely relaxed, comfortable manner, if you can figure that one out, okay? But in the process of going to sleep in that extremely comfortable manner, I'm sure to have things ready for my defense, God forbid the time ever came I had to use it. Well, while sleeping, something, my ear, you know, when you're in the military, all you grunts out there, you'll know what I'm talking about. But when you're going to sleep, you got one eye open and you got your ears open. You hear a twig snap, that eye opens up, or it's already open and it's scanning, it's listening, it's just not right. Well, as I'm in bed sleeping, I hear this weird noise, and I'm attuned to what kind of noise it is because I'm aware of the noises that my house makes, you know, creaks, cracks, whatever it may be. So I'm hearing this kind of metallic spring-like noise, and my head registers it as the doorknob being pulled down in a downward direction to open up the lock. And you hear that little spring in there, and it keeps going back and forth. Then all of a sudden, the handle snaps back up with a little twang, and I go, oh my gosh, I know which door handle that is. I know where it's coming from, and I know the house is secure, and I know nobody else is in it. And I go, well, we're having a breach. So with that, I get out of bed, acquire my firearm, and start tactically moving down the hallway in the buff. Now, you can just picture that. That's going to look really good. Come to find out, it's the cat in the room pawing at the door handle making this noise. But at the time, not thinking about the cat, thinking about somebody trying to open the doorknob, because how many cats know how to open up a doorknob? And so I'm thinking somebody's, I know, try to see the videos. There's a whole bunch of cats that know how to do it. But at that time, I'm thinking to myself, wow, there's somebody trying to get in the house. So I'm going down there, maneuvering appropriately, come to find out it's the cat. But the reason I tell this story is, one, it's funny. And two, I was applying all my techniques of listening, paying attention, knowing my house, going down the hallway, turning corners, the whole works. Okay, so that's story number one. Story number two is a little bit more aggressive. It's almost the same scenario. I'm in bed, the ears are open, one eye is half open, you know, paying attention. My son, my eldest son, had surgery done to him when he was a little child. And they opened up his chest, they took care of some things there. And when he got home, he was given a gift of balloons, about probably five helium balloons on a long tether attached to a lead weight that we had in the master room, the grand room, the vaulted ceiling room. And we've got two large ceiling fans, and the balloons are floating there. Well, I'm in bed sleeping comfortably, and all of a sudden, I hear this boom, 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 boom noise. I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody's breaking in the house. And of course, I've got the handgun at the ready. I sit right up in bed. I'm like, whoa, get out of bed, grab the gun. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's somebody in this house. And I'm going down the hallway, and as I get down to the end of the hallway, the carpet's about to end, the tile comes up, and I hear that big, loud, booming noise again, and I directly point the weapon up towards the ceiling. The helium balloons had come loose from their tether, the lead weight, and the balloons went into the fan hit it and made this awful noise, sounded like somebody was breaking in. Now, I thought it was funny after it was done, but at the moment, it was freaking me out because it was live. In my perception, it was live. The thing is, on both instances, I fell back on my training. So I want to reemphasize how important it is to make sure you're trained in your mind, your body, your equipment, all those factors. Know your house, know yourself, know where your people are, know how to use your weapon, how to turn your corners, be alert as much as possible. And so if anything like that happens or ends up being real, you can be victorious in that situation. So those are a couple stories. If you got something that's funny like that, give us a call here, 254-697-6633. Let us know what it is, funny, serious, whatever it may be. And we'll put you on the air and hear what you got to say. Wow, I got to put my glasses on. Woo! Ross, attorney extraordinaire, just walked in. Man, you're looking bright there, Ross. You're looking bright. Okay, now, without further ado, let me read to you my... Where did you get that fluorescent orange shirt and that, what, sky blue jacket?
I'm just taking lessons from your book, man.
Wow. Okay. Here we go for the opinion piece for this week. It's called The Golden Rule. Ladies and gentlemen, I've talked about the goose that lays the golden egg, but today I want to talk about the golden rule. You know, the one that says, do unto others as you would want done to you. Now, I personally have tried to apply this rule in my life almost to a fault where I start to get walked on all over. Now, of course, this does not include friends or family. We can usually get away with being rotten to them every now and then because we know they'll still love us. But it's still not nice, and I'm ashamed of that as well. What I am talking about is everything and everyone outside that small circle of family and friends. Everything from business dealings to giving up a seat on the bus for a woman or a person in need of a seat. What has happened to common courtesy? The thought of my actions or yours affecting someone else in a negative way. Is it self-centeredness? Is it poor upbringing? Is it ignorance? Is it all the above? I don't know for sure, but I do know there is a lack of it. Many times when the golden rule isn't applied to me, I fall back on my training saying it's not worth the argument or the comment could cause an argument. But most of the time, the negative happenings will continue if nothing is said. There is a well-known phrase often seen on bumper stickers which says, "Do not mistake kindness for weakness." In other words, if you poke the tiger one too many times, the tiger is going to strike back, and usually it's ugly. Escalation by 1,000 pokes. Each one adds up, and unless you're a duck and allow the happenings to roll off your back, violence can erupt. It could be harsh verbal rebuke, or it could escalate to something more physical. Is the golden rule dead? Absolutely not. It's alive and well, sitting on a shelf, waiting to be used. But just like any tool we have, it does no good sitting on the shelf. Each tool has its purpose. The golden rule is one of those tools. It would behoove all of us to pull out the owner's manual and read it, then take the tool off the shelf and use it. The more we use it, the more familiar we become with it, and the easier it becomes to use. Using the golden rule can make this place we call Earth a nicer and gentler place to live. Share the wealth. Share your gold. The golden rule, that is. And with that, Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to have the bright and cheery attorney extraordinaire.
Ben let's Ron go, baby.
I'll see you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. You know, that was a great song for you, because it looks like we're having a revolution right here in this, studio, and I'm sure you're going to tell us all about it in just a little bit. So, Ross, I promoted it by saying we got terms and things that people say wrong or misunderstand, so we're going to start with that, and I think you want to segue into
something
else.
I mean, you know, I could sit here and we could get boring. I mean, there's terms and stuff all the time. That's why. How many times did I say on the show, words mean things?
That's right. Well, I say that all the time, too, yeah.
And so, I mean, I kind of stuck with the theme that, hey, it's people that, things that people don't get or misinterpret, or they think one thing just naturally, and really the law is something else. So why don't we start with, we got on this subject because I said, you know, prosecutors a lot of times like to say in a criminal case, they like to get up there and say, well, you're innocent until proven guilty. And so we don't object, you know, we don't object. We don't make a big deal about it, but then we like to get up there and say to the jury, folks, how would you like it if the judge told you you're going to be here all day unless we figure this out? Or you're going to be here unless we figure this out, as opposed to you're going to be here until we do something. I think there's a big difference, right? Until means it's going to happen. We're going to figure this out, right? And once we do, you're not going to be here.
Yeah, I'm telling you, when you said that last week or the week and a half ago, I can't remember what it was. I think it was last week. I'm thinking, man.
But if I say unless, hell, you may never leave. So it's a big difference because, you know, until proven guilty, that's a never-ending quest.
Yeah,
that assumes, well, we're going to prove you guilty and that you are guilty, and shit, all we got to do is put on our evidence, and this case is over. As opposed to innocent unless proven guilty, unless your evidence rises to the level of proving that I am guilty.
Can't you even mess up that word unless they could just keep looking and looking and looking and looking, and unless they find something later on down the road?
Well, I guess they could keep coming back. That's why we have the double jeopardy clause, which we talked about 2 weeks ago.
That's why you're so good. That's why you're extraordinaire.
Hey, there's a difference. Words mean things. Don't let somebody try to tell you, well, you're innocent until proven guilty. Although, I mean, I realize that a lot of times that's how it goes. It really goes, you're guilty
until proven innocent.
But I guess we could say you're going to be proven innocent.
No, actually, you're guilty unless
proven innocent. So I got some other little tidbits. You know, DPS always has these. You know, I'm a criminal defense lawyer too, so I get to make these kinds of jokes and phrases when they're politically incorrect for everybody else. But they go on TV, the DPS, and I gladly will encourage Mad to call me. So anyway, especially since their leader 2 or 3 years ago got hit for DWI, I thought that was great. Anyway, DPS has the advertisements to talk about, drinking and driving is illegal. Drink, you drive, you go to jail. That may be true. A police officer may try to arrest you, so I don't encourage you to do it. Technically, that's incorrect. There is no law on the books. Right, and I'll preface this here in a second. I guess, well, I'm not prefacing it then, but I'm gonna qualify it here in a second. But there is no law on the books in Texas that makes it a crime to drink and drive.
Yeah, right.
I totally can drink and drive. So yes, there's always the guy in the jury pool in the DWI case that'll go, well, it's against the law for you to have an open container. Yeah, but you can't be arrested for it. It's a non-arrestable offense. You cannot be arrested for having an open container. And if Rogers...
I just heard a whole bunch of beer cans being popped open.
Hey, and if Rogers, Texas, tries to arrest you for it, okay, you need to make sure you tell the police officer the law, okay? And sorry about that, Rogers. Yeah, I'm not backing down on that either. Anyway, so I gladly will welcome complaint calls on that one.
254-697-6633.
Hey, and so yeah, so you can drink and drive. You can't drive while intoxicated. That is a DWI. You cannot drive while intoxicated. Now, I'm gonna also tell you that there's two ways to be intoxicated, which is the 0.08, right, on the blood alcohol level, mm-hmm. and the officer's opinion about whether or not you've lost the use of your mental and physical faculties. So, you know, I suppose an officer could come in there and say that even though you're a 0.01, you've lost the use of your mental and physical faculties, therefore he arrested you. So, yeah, I guess you could be arrested, but technically there's no crime on the books about drinking and driving. And I'd like to see a police officer arrest somebody for a 0.01, and as long as they're good on the tape, there's going to be a problem, okay? But you can beat the rap, but you can't beat the ride, right? So still be careful and drink responsibly. Okay, so then child custody. I always get guys, and the dads that are on these first, third, and fifth weekend schedules are going to know. It's like, yep, that's easy. I got that. Okay, but for and I say dads because that's usually how it is. Yes, that's usually, just the standard. Yep. I'm sorry. It's not every case. You're right, but that's
most of the time.
Okay, and so, but for those of you that are looking to go and do this, and actually it is kind of changing. I see more and more of the other, you know, dads getting actually more custody than mothers now. I think I'm seeing slowly more cases built up around those scenarios. But for those of you thinking about going on it and somebody's saying standard, or you just guys are assuming it's every other weekend, wrong. Okay, it's not. When I say first, third, and fifth, it's exactly what we mean. That means you're going to have two weekends in a row sometimes. Just remember. I mean, it's those little things. And I have parents start out that actually get in a fight over this. No, it's my weekend because, no, dude, it's first, third, and fifth. So if you've got a month with three weekends, you're going to get them back-to-back weekends. Don't let mom try to bamboozle you, okay, into thinking, oh, it's every other weekend. Read your damn orders. It's first, third, and fifth.
Words mean things.
So that means on the third weekend, right, you most likely, I guess I don't know if there's an exception here. I don't think so. Right, on that third weekend, right, you're going to be getting them next weekend on the first weekend.
It depends. I guess it's like the first weekend is on the first day of the month. Sometimes that happens where you get the 4 weekends.
Yeah, I'm not going to say this could never happen where you get a weekend after the...
Sometimes it does, I think.
Okay. So but just make sure you do what I'm telling you to do, and you go look and say, oh, first, third, and fifth. If it's a fifth week... Oh, I say third. Yeah, first. I meant fifth. If it's a fifth weekend, there's not going to be a sixth.
And then, that's right, then the first comes right up to it. That's right.
And the first going to come right after. That's what I mean. I'm sorry, I got a little
turned excited, right here. Yeah. So, yeah, it's bright colors, man. You couldn't read
So, yeah, I got delirious here for a second. So if it's the fifth weekend, right, you're going to get them that first weekend, which is the next weekend. You're going to have two weekends back to back. Right, and do the math. Don't say, well, every other weekend, try to add up every other weekend. You're going to think, well, I'm getting shortchanged on my time. You're going to get two weekends back to back.
Did they do that on purpose, or was that an accidental thing that happened?
No, I think they did it on purpose. You're trying to get both parents. Really, it should work out. If the dad exercises his Thursday visitations, and I say dad again, I understand. I'm just trying to make it clear what I'm talking about, so I'm using one party versus another. So if dad or the non-primary uses the Thursday visitations and they're super extended over the holiday, I mean, not the holiday, but the summertime, mm-hmm. right? It should end up pretty close to even. It really does. It gets pretty close to even time, although the primary does get the child more. But it ends up more close than people think. And once they add up the days, they're like, oh, yeah, okay. So, and then we talked about family violence before on this program. Know that it says family is people who are related by affinity. Okay, and that can be like your brother-in-law, okay? It does say family, defines family as affinity, you know, related by affinity, okay? So, yeah, you're going to have to go look in the government code, but I can tell you that it goes that far, okay? It's going to be related to, I think it might go that far for affinity for family purposes, but it can include the in-laws, okay? So just know that, right? I'm not going to go too far down the line because I don't want to say something that's wrong. I probably could on affinity, okay? But also know that dating relationship, you say, well, it's not dating violence. And you guys, I don't only do cases here in Milam County. I have some fun cases in Austin and Houston that have involved those of the same sex, right, choice. And so I get these cases where we have situations of dating violence, right? And just know, well, I remember I talk about the case in Marlin, right? Well, is dating a mere acquaintance? No, it's got to be more than that. But we talk about, what are friends with benefits? Huh. What are friends with benefits?
Pretty good.
I love it, but hey, man. You got to be careful if you're having a friends with benefits type of relationship. And because, you know, what if she gets mad at you and comes at you with a knife or a sword, as in one of my cases, comes at you with a sword? What do you do?
I would defend myself.
Would you? I don't know. Some people have said that they were defending themselves and got convicted for first degree felonies. OK, so just be careful about what you're doing. But
become a monk. Just become a monk.
Just also know that dating has had a dating relationship. So there's no time limit on these things. So if you see your significant other at the South Beach Metro Club, right, on Montrose in Houston, okay, that you haven't seen in a while, and he's talking shit about you, you don't just go off and start, you know, a fight, man. Hey, but yeah, excuse me. You know, I'm just being real. You don't go start a fight, okay, because it's a has-had dating relationship. That's going to be a family violence, right, conviction. Right, and it's going to be a conviction under most things because that's family violence.
Why do they do that? Because emotions run deep? Is that what it is?
I guess, and they don't want people, they feel like people maybe can take an advantage from somebody still because they had some kind of emotional, right?
Inside knowledge.
Yeah, something to that effect, or had a psychological ability to have some kind of psychological effect on a person. Right, which I hate because it's natural, like I said, for brothers and even cousins sometimes just to fight. Just to be.
It's normal.
Yeah, it's normal for boys to grow. I don't want my son growing up without ever having been in at least one fight.
How has it gotten this way where everything's so litigated? And you're this aggressive attorney and you like law. How does it get from common sense to this is ridiculous what's going on in the system?
Well, I mean, why do we have. I mean, I don't know, man. We talked about this. I mean, I can't. The breakdown of the family nucleus, over proliferation of regulation, right? Too much administrative details within the liberalism to the other side of the degree, not to like a socially liberal standpoint. I mean, people relying too much on government, right? Sustenance, right? I mean, I don't. All of these things, I think, play a role. We've gotten away from the independence part of being an American, okay? And that's why we go into things like such as free-range parenting. It should be a natural. That should be a given that we have free-range parenting. And only when in those situations where the child... I would love comments about whether or not smoking marijuana, not around the children, but... having smoked marijuana, just having it in your bloodstream when you're pregnant, if you would think that is child abuse when there's absolutely, from what I understand, no scientific evidence that would be harmful to the fetus. I can understand both ways. I would just like feedback to see what
254-697-6633. Smoking pot. And so, pregnant women.
And so
here's a call.
And you know, you talk about the CPS not going to take your child. You have a couple drinks or smoking cigarettes. You know, cigarettes, but boy, they're gonna take your kid. They figure out you smoke some pot.
Yeah, but right now, isn't pot illegal?
It is illegal, but we're talking about harm to the child.
Well, that's
So you're telling me you can do something legal that actually would kill your child versus something that's illegal that doesn't harm your child at all. And there's a...
offering an potential insight to the reason.
No, and I'm just playing devil's advocate to your reasoning. So that's what I'm saying. I think there's two sides of the coin here. I think there, I would like to see some feedback, what people think out there. But anyway, then I always get this. I've actually gotten stopped about 5 years ago by a police officer when I passed somebody on the shoulder. He was going to give me a ticket. And I said, really? I think you should go read the code section. He said, well, it says necessary. And I said, dude, it's necessary to comply. That's what the Texas, that's what the Court of Criminal Appeals said. Yeah, so, dude, when somebody's making a left turn, and there's room on the shoulder, if I'm behind you, you better go or I'm honking. So you better make them, you better pass them on the shoulder and go. Because when the code says necessary, it means necessary to compliance with the code. Okay, so yes, if it's necessary to pass because you're holding me up. Okay, so we got the dome light. I'm always getting questions about, can you have a dome light on? I've even had some people get stopped when they had the dome light on the car. You know, from what I take, it's not illegal, but I don't know the answer to that. Honestly, I'm going to get back to
you. Do you have a chandelier on the front of your hood?
Oh, shit. Hey, I don't know. Man, come on. I don't know.
Okay, I don't know either.
Hey, signaling stops. You want to brake check somebody, you know, that's right up on your butt, okay? You want to brake check them? All right, just got to be careful because an operator may not stop or suddenly decrease speed of the vehicle without first giving a stop signal, okay, or signaling to the other person that you're about to stop, okay? So don't do that, all right? And grandparent, here's what I got. I got you. And so the last point I want to make is I had a great time in Brazoria County yesterday. I'll say it again, Brazoria County. Okay, and I'm not going to speak on a pending case. That would be unethical, but I do have a First Amendment right to say why the public trust in the judicial system is fading and why we cannot maintain public trust, and it's because we get judges and other places that are more bound to personal politics, right, and wanting to hold against somebody because they're an out-of-town lawyer and wanting to treat out-of-town lawyers in a disrespectful manner, and people do not trust that the law can go be applied equally simply because judges are bound by personal politics. And I don't mind saying yesterday, and I don't understand what the associate judges are. I won't say any names, but I don't understand what the point of these associate judges are, such as the associate judges in Brazoria County, when they're so have absolutely no authority to do anything that they violate their constitutional duty, violate the separation of powers doctrine, and violate the open courts doctrine by asserting jurisdiction and power and authority when they actually have none. It was the first time yesterday I ever had a judge tell me, hey, agree with me, they have no authority, they do not have jurisdiction, but I'm not going to do anything because I have no authority anyway. Well, then why are you a judge? And why do you offer me 5 minutes to make an argument, right, and then give the other side 30 minutes? And I'll say another thing, it doesn't look very good from a public standpoint when the public shows up into a court and they see a lawyer flailing around in the courtroom, speaking to the other attorney directly instead of to the court, okay, and speaking outrageously and making demands to the other attorney personally. I'm sure I didn't handle myself as well as I should have, but it was the court's duty to rein in that local attorney and to establish local rules that actually have bite so that I did not have to defend myself personally to another lawyer. Anyway, those things are why the public trust in the system is fading and why we cannot trust, right, certain judges, and why it was important to have an actual elected official instead of associate judges in place that can actually not do anything but weaken our system. So with that being said, I've said my piece, and that's my opinion piece. And I don't know if you've got any more questions. If you do, shoot.
Wow. You... Man, when you talk, people listen, dude. Let me tell you, you talk with...
I was told I was very passionate yesterday.
Very passionate, extremely passionate. But what you're saying is true. I totally get what you're saying. When you explain the situation and how it happens, you shouldn't have to go through all that. And there is local town politics going on in everything. There's cliques all over the place, and I can't stand it either.
And I get that, and I actually respect that part of it, but don't go so far as to just allow a local attorney to act any kind of way possible. I will be requesting a video, right, from the courtroom yesterday. Okay, there's a difference in respecting the local politics and then just being subject to them.
Well, clarify respecting the local politics.
I totally get, you know, you're going to respect the local guys because they have credibility. You have somebody that you've never seen before. It's just hard. And that's a natural thing. That's why that doesn't bother me. But when you become subject to them, right, and you're willing to, you know, look past, right, the rules of decorum, right, completely, okay, it's gone.
See, that's where the respectability should come in, is specifically in a courtroom, because you're going by set laws and rules, and it doesn't matter who you are or what you are. If you apply those rules, everybody becomes equal.
Exactly, but you know, I'm a realist. I'm just not going to make complaints about any kind of little thing like this. I'm talking on major stuff. When you become subject, just allow another party to act however they want to act and speak to another attorney directly, in my opinion, you're doing the system a disservice. You're doing our entire system. You make our entire system look bad.
So if you have a situation like that,
you make my profession look bad. I don't appreciate it.
If you're in a courtroom trying to defend somebody and you have this type of antics going on, how, and it does not go to your favor, how can you take care of that after that court decision?
What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Report this? I'm way outnumbered. The attorneys in there are going to back the judge, obviously, but I have my own witnesses there, so I'm fine today. I mean, I got, this is why I do this show. I feel like sometimes I have an obligation to speak out on this type of stuff. I have a right to speak out. It upsets me, right? These judges are subject to the public opinions, and so they're public officials. I believe that's why, right, we have shows like this in order to get these opinions so people know what's actually going on.
Okay, so people hear somebody like you. They read documentation. They watch a TV show. They get informed, but they don't act. What act should they do to try to ensure that what you're saying gets actually...
Go to the courts, watch what I'm talking about, and then make a complaint to the Judicial Conduct Commission.
Who would you make a complaint to?
You could make a complaint to the Judicial Conduct Commission. I'm not going to, but you could make a complaint to the state bar, okay? You could make a complaint to your legislature. Legislators, right? You could make a complaint to your congressman, okay? You could speak out just locally at the commissioner's court. You could speak to the local mayor. You can talk to... the local city council member. A lot of times, they even though they may not have a direct, right, legal authority to do anything for you, they definitely have political ties that they can go say, hey, they can go talk to the judges directly or at the commissioner's court. They have connection to other people that they can advocate basically on your behalf where you would have otherwise no weight or credibility or authority to even get your point across. Okay, so tell people. I think Kiki Sims was just elected. I was delighted to see that she had run, but I think, you know, that's one reason she wanted to try to get some issues to the table that just had never been able to get to the table. So I think she's trying to look at some of the new issues. So go talk to people like Kiki. I think she'd be receptive, right, to, you know, maybe she's maybe not advocate for you, but I think she'll be at least be receptive to hearing, right, any kind of complaints you have. And that's really what you need to do. Go talk to these people.
Yeah, because just listening to it and talking about it over the dinner table or discussing it with your friends in a local pub.
Hey, but we'll take any publication. I mean, I will take, right? I mean, if the best you can do is talk to your friends at the bar, maybe at some point the message gets to somebody who's in the leadership role.
Granted, that's true, but it just goes beyond that. You got to do more than just.
I agree.
You got to do more than just what everybody else does.
I agree.
That's why I got this show. I get on this show for a couple of reasons. I mean, a handful of reasons. One, I enjoy it. Two, I get to talk to people like you and Rick and all the others. But I feel as though I personally have an agenda, and my agenda is try to stay in on the core element of life. I know there's realism to life, but there's a purism of it too. I like to stay right on the fine line between purism and realism, as close as I can get it. And getting on the radio, I try to send that out the airways, people to hear it, maybe convince two or three people, and you're doing the same by saying what you're saying here.
Yes? Yes, I mean, it's like, I'll stop.
No, don't
before
stop.
Before I start listing names out, and that's probably unethical at that point, but hey, I just want people to understand and know what's going on out there, and sometimes these officials have gotten away with so much, they feel like their authority is just untouchable, right, because nobody ever calls them out on it. I'm going to call you out.
Well, they're probably afraid because those people who, like you just said, feel they have all the power probably have a nice little circle of friends who are going to back them up and can cause you problems. So if you don't have people, that's the problem. Ross. You may have somebody who understands and knows and wants to go out there and bring it up, but there's a lot of weak-minded, fearful people that will stay quiet, and you're there sitting out on the front line all by yourself to get attacked by that group or clique that is opposed to you because you're ruffling their feathers.
Well, I would like to see this attorney come up into a different court around Central Texas and act the way he acted yesterday. That's all I've got to say.
Now, you made a comment about you're seeing things turn in the child support, or the dads getting more more benefits as compared to the women, because we all know that the women usually gets a child, the guy loses his house, his dog, the whole works. Why do you think you're seeing a trend in the other direction?
I mean, I think dads are just getting more responsibility. I think the old traditional view. Hey man, I think the old traditional view.
Snowflakes.
I think the old traditional view that dads can't take care of their kids, right? It's mom's job. I think that's going away. I think more women are working full time in the workplace, and I think that they're taking more roles that men probably traditionally would have taken, and now the dads are seeing, you know, that view has slowly died, in my opinion, or is dying, and so men don't think that rule applies anymore, or hey, just it's necessary in some cases. And then I think judges are becoming more acceptable to the view that dad can be just as effective caregiver as mom can be. Does that make sense? And so judges are, I think, more willing to, in some cases, give dads custody of the kids when they wouldn't otherwise have done that.
Okay.
You don't think I'm...
No, what you said, I actually agree with what you said. It's just there's a whole lot more in my head running around about
that situation. Well, I mean, I can tell you, I had a jury trial with trying to get a father custody of a child. And, I mean, I'm... If it wasn't for good lawyer on the other side, I would have busted the jury panel. I mean, I had people going, oh, I don't think dad could do that. No, that's mom's job. I think, like, still public opinion out there is that it's mom's job. But I feel like that's slowly dying, too.
Look, there's a lot of guys out there that are still like us in the manly sense, okay? You look at them, you're manly, you act manly. All this kind of, there's a lot of wussified men out there. They're acting like women.
I don't think you're wussified. Just because you're a dad that takes care of your kids.
No, you didn't let me finish my statement. There's a lot of wussified guys out there that act more like women. And then so they come in there and they say, well, you act
like
a woman.
Now you get women saying, what do you mean by that?
Well, we can have that discussion when they're having a hard time finding a good guy to date. It's because they're all women. That's why they're all going. It's crazy.
Hey, that's
dude.
Why you need to know what dating relationship is.
You know why there's a man in a relationship? Because the woman can't do certain things the guy does. And you know why the man's married to his wife is because the man can't do everything for his children that a woman can do.
I'm saying he can't do everything for himself.
That's why the two together make a great team, man.
I was just joking.
Mama,
come on, I'll take complaints. I'll take complaints from all you today. I'm ready. Come on.
In most cases, mama puts that gentle love and touch and caress on the hair. And then dad says, you screwed up, dude. We're going to square that away. And together, it works out perfect. But I just think it's all screwed up backwards, man. I need to get back. I ain't shoveling nothing out. I'm going deeper in. I'm digging it in deeper. I don't care. That's the way it is, man. That's what I'm talking about, staying in the purism and the realism. The realistic part of it is it's going to hell in a handbasket. The pure side says this is the way it should be.
Well, I don't think that's going the wrong direction. I think a lot of dads out there are doing a lot of good and a really good job about being involved in their kids' lives. I think there were some traditional views that caused dads to say, "I'm too good for that family."
I'm not arguing that fact. I'm arguing the fact that when families break up and the women usually get it, but now more men are getting it, I'm wondering why.
I want to go ahead and sound off on this since I might have just a little bit of experience in the situation.
Go ahead.
From what I believe, it doesn't matter. The gender doesn't matter. It's whoever's best equipped to fill that job for the child. If the woman is tougher than the man, let her be the one that does the tough, teaching the child how to endure.
I won't argue that.
If the man is better at nurturing, let him be the one. Don't belittle him because he does it. Don't belittle her because she does that.
Those are anomalies, though. I see them as anomalies.
Anomaly or not, it should be the fact. It should be the natural order of things that the person best suited for the job gets the job.
I got you. I agree with that, but I think it's also more complicated than that. Sometimes you have jobs that make a difference, and sometimes the man may not be the best out of the two at nurturing, or at least may not be the type of person who's a good nurturer, right. But it's it's necessary for him to do it because the other person, the POS.
Yeah.
Can I say POS?
Yes. Because they're getting on me today. That's better.
That's a good show today. Yeah, you're riled up there, Ross.
We are. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We got, when we have to, you got to step in my shoes 1 week.
I remember I could say something, one thought, and it's lining up to have a 10 or 15 more thoughts to go with it to make a point. Yet that one point gets cut short. And it puts upon the public opinion as, oh, he thinks a certain way. No, you got to see the whole thing. Worked out in my brain, buddy.
Go ahead. Make your other 14.
The radio show isn't long enough.
Okay? Make your other 14.
I'm just saying there's a whole bunch of things that go with this. And everything's getting so weird and distorted that the natural elements of how things are supposed to work aren't happening that way.
No, I get you. Yeah, I get you.
That's why I say I'd like to go back to where it's... the way it's supposed to be. Okay, I'm getting the finger.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Just know this. I would like comment, too, if you want to email me at Benton@Watson.legal. Benton@Watson.legal. Where in the world does anybody that you know of... I'm going to ask you one more question.
Go ahead.
In your opinion, what is a parent of a parent of the child? What does that mean? A parent of a parent of the child. What is that?
You asked me that already. You want me to say it?
What is your answer? What was your first answer?
My first answer was grandparent.
Oh, yeah, that's grandparent.
Can just seeing that by itself, is there any way to say that that includes anybody else but a grandparent? A parent of a parent of the child.
Something you always say, Ross, is that legal language is very specific. If it doesn't say specifically the parent of the parent of the parent of a child, then it doesn't mean the great-grandparent.
Thank you. That's all I had to say.
Okay. Stay put for a second. Trent, let's take a break. First of all, tell them everybody how they get a hold of it. Rick Dodd, Coppolino Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, they sponsor the segment. I'm beginning to wonder if they're still watching. Okay, tell them how they can get a hold of you, what you're doing, and all that.
254-605-4140. 254-605-4140. Email me about any questions with the show. Benton@Watson.legal. It's Benton@Watson.legal. You can come holler at me. I'm right down here in downtown Cameron, 105 East Main. Got the big milk cow on the side. Can't miss me. Or, holler at me in Houston if you make an appointment.
You got a problem. You want this guy on your side, man. All right. See you on the other side of the break.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. The good things in life, trust Germania.
Is your insurance company taking too big a bite out of your apple? When you're shopping for property insurance, think about coverage, service, and price. Make sure you're getting the most for your money. When you compare apples to apples, you'll see that Germania Insurance delivers outstanding value. Competitive rates, flexible payment options, and discounts. Plus, Germania offers 24/7 customer claim service. Trusted by Texans since 1896. Don't give up service or sacrifice coverage. Compare apples to apples, then choose the outstanding value offered by Germania Insurance.
So when you want to insure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. 4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and zero-turn big dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. High Cap Adventure Radio Program, May 19th, 2018. And I made the comment of the wussifying of America. Let me read you an article here real quick. This is spanking of a child at store leads to police investigation. A caller and a grandmother had different words used to describe a form of discipline used on an 8-year-old boy in a store bathroom Sunday afternoon. The caller told a dispatcher she saw a woman beating a child. And beating was probably a questionable word, in the bathroom at Walmart on South 31st Street. And the officer contacted the woman, and she said her 8-year-old grandson was acting up in the store. She admitted to spanking him to discipline him for not listening to her. Officer said they saw a small abrasion on the boy's neck, so the officer notified Child Protective Services. The investigation into possibly family violence, injury to a child, elderly or disabled person is under investigation. This is ridiculous. This is totally ridiculous. Some woman sees another woman spanking a child because a child's acting up. If it was my child, I would have done the same thing. And I would have done it in public view. And then because you got a scratch on your neck for an 8-year-old child having an abrasion on your neck, almost every 8-year-old kid who goes outside anyway can get an abrasion on their neck, and you call Child Protective Services. Ridiculous. It's the wussifying of America. And then the other thing I wanted to make a comment on is I saw this article for about the Boy Scouts. This was what, last week or so, a couple weeks ago, I forget. Boy Scouts changed their name. You know why? Because they're wussies. Because the private institution fell to pressure. It'd be different if they said, you know, because times have changed, maybe we should do something different. They would never have changed their name had they not got this problem with women wanting to get in it and destroying what has been a all-male private club teaching boys how to scout, okay? So the wussifying of America, they bowed down, they bent, they broke to public pressure. It's ridiculous. Anyway, I wanted to make that comment. Trey, let's get the delicious Janae Goodman on here to lighten things back up. And she's going to talk to us about, I believe it's putting summer beds gardening to sleep and summer gardening. See you on the other side.
Hello, my lovelies. Temperatures are climbing, and let's get real. Unless you're waking up before the sun does, the only bed you're interested in is in your room. Today, I'm going to help you get your garden prepped and in gear for summer. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. Let's talk about what you should be harvesting. This is the peak time to pull out any strawberries, tomatoes, spring onions, squash, cucumbers, and eggplants if you have any. Carrots and leafy greens are well overdue for harvesting. They may carry a bitter taste if they're kept in warmer weather for too long. If you notice this is the case with your crops, I suggest letting them sprout seeds and harvest those instead so that you're ready for next year's planting season, which will come around late fall or early winter for us here in Texas. So what can you do with all this produce? Well, summer harvest just screams ratatouille, so here's an easy recipe to make your own at home. For a decent quart-sized pot of ratatouille stew, you'll need one medium sweet yellow onion or four spring onions, 4 to 6 cloves of garlic, minced, 4 medium ripe tomatoes, large dice please, 1 large yellow squash, sliced into coins, a large zucchini cut into coins, and a medium eggplant that's been salted and rinsed. You'll also want olive oil for cooking and salt and pepper to taste. Sweat your medium diced onions and minced garlic in olive oil over medium high heat until the onions are translucent. Add in your sliced yellow squash and zucchini. Saute until coated in oil. Next, toss in your eggplant and stir to coat. Slide in your chopped tomatoes and stir until thoroughly incorporated. Season with salt and pepper and reduce to a medium heat. Cover your stew and let it simmer for about 20 to 30 minutes, stirring occasionally. Once cooked to perfection, serve your stew with rice or pasta and top it with mozzarella cheese. You can add in meat for a heartier meal as well. I recommend ground sausage for a burst of flavor. The best thing about this dish is the flavors intensify if it sits overnight, so your leftovers will be just as delicious. That's assuming you have any leftover. You're all harvested, so what now? Well, you've got a few options. If you choose to plant for the summer season, I highly suggest choosing crops that don't require a ton of maintenance. Sweet potatoes are great for planting, and they have a bonus of being somewhat drought resistant. If you choose to plant these, make sure that you give their roots plenty of room. You can do so by creating a hill in the center of your garden bed, utilizing the soil from the sides of the bed. Plant your sweet potato plants at the top of the hill, and cover your newly planted crops with hay or mulch, and give them plenty of water. Tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, and squash can still be put in the ground as well. Although these will take a bit more maintenance than your sweet potatoes, they yield a ton of delicious product. If you're looking forward to pumpkins this fall, now is the time to get them in the ground. Pumpkins and other varieties of fall squash thrive in warm weather. If you're not about maintaining a garden bed this summer, I understand and I empathize with you. Put your beds to sleep instead. To put a garden bed to sleep means that you're halting any growth for the season. You can do so by fertilizing the bed and covering the surface with cardboard. This can easily be done by laying down a broken down cardboard box. Be sure to cover the cardboard with a bit of mulch. This will ward off some of the weeds that are attempting to take over your garden, so you're not straining when you're ready to plant again. If you'd like to get one more crop in the ground and double dip by fixing nitrogen into your soil, plant beans before putting your bed to sleep. Let the plant sprout, harvest your beans, pull your bean plants out of the ground when they're done harvesting, and lay the pulled plants on top of the bed. You can break down the plants with a garden tool and let them decompose before covering the bed with cardboard and mulch as mentioned before. I tend to do this with black-eyed peas or green beans. As always, shoot me an email at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com if you have any questions about this or any previous segments. Pew, pew. I'm open to ideas for things that you'd like to hear on the show, so email me about those as well. If you missed out on our women's takeover of Aaron's High Cap Adventure radio show last week, be sure to check it out at the Aaron's Gun Shop Facebook page or YouTube. That's all for me this week, so until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you're doing okay today. The show is a little bit different today, and I'm not sure that I'm on the air, but I think I am. It's been really warm outside today, so we've got a good hot day ahead.
You're good to go, buddy.
All right, thanks. Hey, the show is going to be a little bit different today, everybody. You know, usually I start on Monday preparing for the next charity show. I spend all week researching it and script it out so that I don't make any mistakes. And, you know, so it comes across halfway professional. You know, I feel all you that are listening to this deserve it and to have the best that I can do for you. That's kind of the way I've been with everything I do in life. I've always been a planning type of person to the nth degree. And that includes going on vacations, grocery shopping, doctors, etc. I'm not real good at just being spontaneous, which I've been pointed out several times by people that care for me, that that's not a real good attribute to have. But unfortunately, that's the way I am. You know, I've never been able to fly by the seat of my pants type of man. As old Senator Fred Thompson said when he was in the movie Hunt for Red October, son, even a rusty doesn't take a you-know-what without a plan. I'm kind of like that, good or bad. I was like that when I was chief of police, and it worked that well until, you know, politics get involved. I'm telling this this basically because it's not going to be that way today. So I apologize ahead of time if I offend anyone, which I very well may, kind of this is over today. And I also apologize if some of this comes across choppy. I'm just not real good at not having all my notes together and being a person who is a fact. This is going to be coming by my pants, and it's going to be coming kind of what you might say from the heart, because it's something that I feel needs to, it just needs to be said today. Like I said, today I'm going to talk about commentary, not safety-related issues, which in this true sense, but I'm talking from the heart and what I feel, what's really going through my mind. I'm going to talk about the tragedy in Santa Fe yesterday. To most, that is exactly what it is, a tragedy that will be lost in our minds in a few weeks, months, or so when the next one happens. And rest assured, folks, as sure as I'm alive today, there will be a next time. The only question is where? Is it going to be Cameron? Is it going to be Temple, Killeen, Rogers, Thorndale? Who knows? No one thought it would happen for sure in Santa Fe, Texas. Why is that one that will forever be burned in my mind, in my soul? Because as a grandfather, a dad, a former policeman, and even a human being, it's starting to hit a little too close to home. My first grandchild, the young man that I watched grow up from an infant to a young 16-year-old he is now, was there yesterday. He was a sophomore at Santa Fe High School. Is a sophomore at Santa Fe High School. He was one of the lucky ones. He got out of the school, and even though he could hear the shells ringing out, and ran into the woods for safety. He and hundreds of other classmates were hiding until it seemed safe, and then ran to a point where he could get his mom to pick him up away from the school. Can you imagine the hearts, the feels, the heartbeats of the kids that were running, not knowing who was going to get shot, whether who had been shot, whether they were going to be shot? I can't fathom that feeling. As I said, he was one of the lucky ones. He told me how scared he was. He shook up, how shook up he was. What do you tell a young kid or your grandchild when all you know is that there are parents, grandparents who lost loved ones yesterday? How do you tell him? Well, he's a lucky one. How do you tell him that he's okay, he'll live again, when some of his best friends were shot and some of the people that he knew won't ever be back in school again? I got to tell you, folks, I'm pissed off, and I'm sorry I apologize for using that language, but I am. I'm mad, and I'm angry. I'm frustrated. How can our country... allow such needless shame to come to our schoolyards. Now, before anyone tries to say anything about this, this is not, and I repeat, not an anti-gun commentary today. Just the opposite. If you want to know the truth, I believe that everybody in this state should be armed. And I mean that but it needs to be armed in a way that we could protect people. My grandson at 16 is one of the most avid sportsmen I've ever met. He eats, breathes, and sleeps hunting and fishing. At 16, the only thing he wants to do is hunt, fish, and go about. You know what I was doing at 16? I was either trying to figure out where I was going to get my next McDonald's from, or I was going to see what girl I could chase. You know, things have changed. People have changed. My grandson has caught more fish in one day than I have caught in my entire life. He hunts ducks, wild hogs, and anything else, deer. He's had several trophy specimens at 16 already. He would be the first to tell you that banning guns or keeping guns out of honest people's hands are the wrong way to approach this tragedy. And that is what this is, a tragedy. What we need to do in this country is work on the root of the problem and fix things that can be fixed. Will anyone ever know what the cause is and what caused that young man yesterday to take up arms on his classmates? We can all come up, and you're going to hear tons and tons of experts tell us in the next few weeks, well, this is a problem. Here is a problem. He posted this. He did this. He watched this video game. Will we really ever know what caused him to do that? And how do we as a nation understand what's in the head of someone who does that anymore? You know, we talk about background checks. We talk about all these things. We talk about guns that are legal and guns that are illegal. You know, up until this shooting yesterday, all we heard about was assault-style rifles. Well, yesterday, these guns weren't assault-style rifles. There was a shotgun and a pistol that 75% of all Americans in this country have in their home. You know, I had a shotgun in my home one time. I was a child. And I'm sure that most of the people listening to this have got shotguns and everything else in their homes as well. And he had a pistol, a .38 revolver pistol, the most common pistol that you could probably find. It's not there. Smith & Wesson made millions of them over the years. So did Ruger. These were not banned weapons. These are not weapons that were going to, a 21-year-old couldn't buy because of some type of law that is passed, such as Florida. These are weapons that any person could just pick up in most homes in America. So before we start talking about banning guns, we need to start talking about what we can do to fix people and to fix situations so things like this don't happen. You know, we want to know why he did this. Well, last night, if you watch the news, and that's pretty much all that was on the news yesterday, some people say, was it bullying? Some said he was bullied by the coaches he had. If that was the case, shame on them. Fire them. Get rid of them. We don't need that kind of people in education. But if that's not the case, protect those coaches. Protect those people. Was it students that taunted him? Were they students that bullied him? If the students had a history of bullying this young man, whoever those students were, put them in the school of their own and let them bully each other. It's kind of like a leper's colony for bullies. Or was it just plain mental illness? Was there something that went wrong in his head that caused him to snap that day? I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. We'll never know. Only one person will ever know, and that's the great Almighty. The point I'm trying to make here is that no one knows what causes a person to have thoughts that would push him or her over the edge, that were to take up arms against the innocent. You know, we're in the middle of a war here, folks. And if you don't think so, think about this. Since January of this year, and that's only been 5 months and, 16 days or 18 days, there have been 18 school shootings. 18. Now, we only hear about the worst ones where there's a multitude of people shot. But there have been suicides in schools. There have been one person shot in a school. There was a shooting yesterday, last night, as a matter of fact, in Georgia at a school function. you know, the reasons, who knows what these reasons are. But what's important, folks, is we've got to learn how to prevent this. We have to change our thoughts in society. We have to harden our schools. You know, Lieutenant Dan Patrick yesterday made some statements that have already drawn a tremendous amount of criticism, especially from the liberal side of the fence. He made the statement that, you know, we need to harden our schools. We need to have one entrance in and out. Well, let me tell you, folks, he's on to something there that's good. But everybody on the liberal side of the table, their first thing was, well, we don't need to worry about making the schools harder to get in. We need to worry about taking the guns away. We will never in this country allow our guns to be taken away. That will not happen. What we need to do is we need to figure out one way in, one way out with metal detectors. One way in, one way out with metal detectors. We need to put armed guards at those doors. You know, and I hear people say, well, we can't afford it. Well, let me tell you what. I'll guarantee you could find some retired cops or some retired military individuals who would be willing to take a little less money to protect this country. I'll guarantee they'd sit at that door and they'd do their job. But we got to make that effort. We got to get our heads out of the sand or out of our, you know what. And let me give you this idea. In a 4-year period of time back in the early 80s, there were 130 airplane hijackings in 4 years. 130. Matter of fact, it used to be so common. Take me to Cuba. Take me to Havana. Do you hear about hijacking? No, you don't. You know why? Because there's more screening. There is air marshals. Security was increased to the point that people know better, and the risk outplays the actions. We have got to take that in our schools. We cannot not do that for our kids. And you say, well, schools aren't supposed to be prisons. No, they're not. But they're also not supposed to be killing fields either. We have to do in our schools what we need to do and put this partisan bullcrap and fix the issue right now. And, yeah, I am aggravated. I'm mad because my grandson should not have heard that. He should not have to have a run for his life. It's time we arm people, arm our teachers. I was against this at first, but not anymore. You know, do what we need to do in our classes for our kids. Put bars on the inside that they can close the door where they have to. You know, we're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. We need to take our heads out of the sand. You know, put the money in the right places. And I'm tired of, you know, I see all these school districts. There was $180 or $190 million budget or a bond that was passed over in Killeen a couple of weeks ago for new football field, new schools. Why not put some of that money into security? Put it where it needs to go. And above all, we need to start teaching our kids at home what to do if they hear these things. Teach them to run. Teach them to get down. Teach them to pray. And I think that is one of the things we need to do. We need to pray for the peace of this country in these schools. You know, teaching at home how to do it, how to handle it is one of the most important things you can do, folks. And finally, I want to ask a big favor. I'm almost out of time. But finally, please pray for the ones who lost someone yesterday. You know, there's going to be a lot of funerals, and I don't know if y'all heard or not, but the Houston football player, J.J. Watt, a man of faith and a man of goodness, is going to pay for every one of the 10 deceased funerals. That's a man. That's somebody that we need to laud. It's somebody you need to tell your young kids they can pattern themselves after if they want a sports star. So above everything, folks, pray for the kids, pray for their families, and have a great week, everybody.
Hey, Chief, can you still hear me, Chief? Chief,
sure.
Can you hear me? Hey, why don't you hang tight for a minute? I got an article I want to read, kind of going in the flow of what you got here. I saw this on WesternJournal.com. It's written by Becky Lagia. FBI releases pro-Second Amendment statement, states the importance of armed citizens in America. Active shooter incidents are defined as any incident involving one or more individuals who are actively engaged in killing or attempting to kill those within a populated area, gang or drug-related shootings notwithstanding. There were 50 active shooter incidents in 2016 and 17 combined, leaving many to question if America is, in fact, safer when armed. However, a recent investigation by the FBI in April showed that in numerous incidents involving active shooters, there were people who stopped them by use of a weapon. Armed and unarmed citizens engaged the shooter in 10 incidents. They safely and successfully ended the shootings in 8 of those incidents. Read the report. Their selfless actions likely saved many lives. The enhanced threat posed by active shooters and the swiftness with which active shooter incidents unfold support the importance of preparation by law enforcement officers and citizens alike. 10 active shooters have been confronted by citizens, and 8 of them ended successfully, according to the Daily Caller. 4 of those 8 shooters were stopped by lawfully armed citizens. In one incident, a citizen possessing a valid firearms permit exchanged gunfire with the shooter, causing the shooter to flee. According to the Federalist, it is not a matter of if guns increase violence, but if they are a good means of self-defense. What matters is not the risk or lack thereof that guns pose to society, but simply whether guns are reasonable means of self-defense. Adding that to defend one's life is a basic dignity that cannot be taken away in the name of social utility. Rights function as moral trump cards that override appeals to utility, he said. Like our right to life, our right to defend ourselves is a basic dignity that can't be defeated just because it might produce a net benefit. In nearly all nations' survey estimates, the result saw that defensive gun uses by victims were nearly as common as offensive used by criminals. Though millions of Americans are legally permitted to carry firearms every day, most of them cite self-defense as the first and foremost reason to do so. Almost done here. The overwhelming majority of the time, those guns are never drawn in anger. But innocent civilians can and do sometimes use their guns in self-defense, as those in the active shooter incidents. The value of firearms in the hands of law-abiding citizens should be measured in terms of lives saved or crimes prevented, not criminals killed. Well, that's good, too. But I wanted that article because it shows... another comment I want to make was this. If the left-wing media would stop promoting this because they got an agenda against the gun and dim it down a bit, and people and the bad guy or the nutcase realizes that instead of getting glory for the shooting, they're going to get lead because security operators or people, citizens who are armed, are going to immediately aggress this individual to drop the count to minimal or zero. They're going to say, I better find another option to glorify myself than trying to be a mass shooter. So what I'm trying to get at is this. You need to arm yourself. And Chief, when you said the teachers need to arm themselves, I'm talking with Trey here in the studio, and we're saying teachers need guns only if they'll train and they'll become proficient with it. Otherwise, they're a hazard to themselves and other people if you're not proficient with the firearm under stress. And shooting paper targets doesn't cut it. You got to do something above that and advance that. So we got to get guns in people's hands, and they got to get trained, and you got to, like you said, get your heads out of your fourth point of contact.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all
I agree with you 100%. You know, and I'm afraid it's just going to, if we don't start doing something, it's going to get worse. You know, that scares me. And, you know, like I said, this hit home for me.
Well, it is getting worse. It's getting worse because they keep promoting it because they have an agenda that guns are bad and they use this as their template. You'll notice that the ones that don't really include the black rifle or has a higher casualty count, you don't hear about them. They just want the good stuff right, so it can push the agendas. It's an agenda. It's an agenda. It's an agenda. And these nutcases who want to shoot up everybody are utilizing the coverage from these agendas to push their plan, or because they're losers in life, wanted to get some type of glory before they go out.
Exactly right. You know, and that's, I don't know. I look at, especially when I read all the commentary on the internet this morning about some of the comments that like the senator made or the lieutenant governor made, you know, then I get more angry because you've got so many liberals and so many left wingers that want to keep our country backwards, so to speak. And I call it going backwards. You know, we have the right now. We have the abilities that we can protect ourselves. But you got to get trained. You can't just go buy a gun at Walmart or wherever you may buy a gun and say, I'm armed now. I can do
ANC firearms.
Yeah. But I think if you bought an ANC firearms, they would tell you the absolute need to get trained. Walmart won't. ANC firearms will. And that's the place people need to go. They need to go where someone knows what they're talking about. They need to go where someone will encourage them to do it the right way. They need to go to your classes. They need to take your classes. By the way, I've got somebody that wants to take your class. I need to get some information from you here shortly.
Sure, we'll take care of that off air.
All right,
Chief. Well, good talking to you. We'll see you. Hopefully, maybe you come in the studio next week. If not, we'll get you back on the air.
Next year.
I guess we'll take a break, Trey, and when we come back, we'll do our product spotlight, the Ruger PC9 9mm. See you on the other side.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
It's a trust as true as Texas. A friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Are you comparing apples to apples on your insurance coverage?
Apples to apples?
Yeah, like making sure you have a great rate and outstanding coverage.
My company says they have the lowest rates, but I'm not sure about coverage.
How about service? When you're shopping for property insurance, do you compare coverage, service, and price to make sure you're getting the most for your money?
I never thought to ask.
Well, Germania Insurance has been insuring Texans for over 100 years.
I do need to do some comparing.
Just make sure you're comparing apples to apples with the right coverage and outstanding rates for property auto and your family.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I think we all need some help. Help with some firearms training, maybe. That's always a good thing. Love to teach y'all. I got lots of tricks up my sleeve. But anyway, we're here at the Product Spotlight segment, sponsored by ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, 254-983-4417. And this week, it's the Ruger's PC9 carbine, and I think this is pretty cool. I'm totally into handgun and rifles with the same calibers for certain applications. But this article is going to touch on that, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read just portions of this article and then give you some of my personal comments on it. But if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, you'll get to see a picture of the handgun, the price tag with all the details. We've got a picture of one of the listeners' sons there shooting the rifle. It's just a nice, well-built rifle. So let me read this article to you from the AmericanRifleman.org. And it reads in part like this. During the latter part of the 19th century, it was not uncommon for cowboys to pack both a single-action revolver and a lever-action carbine, each chambered for the same ammunition. Back then, that typically meant a rimmed cartridge such as the .44-40 Winchester carried on the gun belts and bandoliers. It has simplified the user's ammunition supply. Nearly 150 years later, the concept still makes a lot of sense depending on the circumstances, especially since most defensive firearms now feed from a convenient detachable box magazine. That development alone has simultaneously revolutionized the cartridge of extra ammunition, the carriage of extra ammunition, and the quick reloading of firearms. The new Ruger PC9 carbine accepts magazines from three current Ruger pistol lines, the SR series, and the Security 9, and the American. Even more compelling, the PC carbine is also capable of being fed from the now ubiquitous Glock pattern magazine. That is awesome. A lot of people have the Glocks out there, so you can have an interchanging rifle like that. Ruger's latest take on the concept, the PC carbine, wisely applies several notable improvements to the company's previous effort. For one, the PC's method of operation, like its predecessor, is fundamentally a blowback design, though the mechanism is much improved and greatly simplified. In addition to the PC borrows from the Ruger's phenomenally successful model 1022 semi-automatic rimfire carbine, not only is some aspects of its general layout and even in a few specific trigger groups components, but most notably, it's the mimicking of the takedown version, its ability to be quickly and easily separated into two compact sections. I'm tongue-tied here today, Trey. I'm tripping on my words. Perhaps most importantly, in terms of its market appeal, the PC, with a simple swapping out of magazine well inserts, can be quickly converted to accept Glock pattern 9mm Luger magazines, including the company's own 33-round example originally developed for the G18 machine pistol. Finally, as with its companion pistol, the PC carbine is priced to attract. The gun is a takedown. It has a takedown for transport or storage in identical manner to that of the 1022 takedown. A recess in the lower front of the buttstock guides the thumb into position to retract a downward protruding pin in the fore-end assembly. That allows the fore-end to be twisted and the barrel pulled free of the receiver. At first glance, the PC carbine's receiver, bolt assembly, and trigger group appear similar to those used in the 1022. At 6 pounds, 10 ounces, the PC carbine has a substantial feel, but its weight is centered between the hands and the gun comes to the shooter readily, its iron sights aligning well with the eye when the stock meets the shooter's face. Beyond resulting in better balance, the new carbine's design facilitates the takedown configuration since the action's moving parts are confined to the buttstock assembly. For anyone who concedes that a pistol-caliber carbine concept is valid and who can envision how one might complement a personal inventory of firearms, Ruger's PC carbine must be acknowledged as one of the better modern examples. Its takedown feature and multi-magazine adaptability provide a utility that every modern-day armed citizen should at least consider as he or she traverses in the 21st century frontier. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've got multiple firearms that take the same ammunition in pistol and rifle form, carbine form. And, you know, if you have a pistol caliber and you're putting it in a rifle form, if you've ever paid attention to a shooting range, you happen to see a lot of particulate on the ground after shooting. A lot of powder's not burnt because the barrel's too short. Well, when you put that same cartridge in a longer barrel, like a 16-inch barrel, the length of the barrel gives it more time to burn up the powder, which gives you more velocity on your projectile, which gives you better efficiency with a pistol cartridge out of a carbine downrange. So keeping the same type of ammo for moderate type of shooting of moderate type of animals or whatever, you've got a great adaptability for the long shot with more stability in the carbine, or you got up close and personal with your handgun using the same ammo, and not only that, but interchangeable mags. The Ruger PC9, because of its adaptability to the Glock magazine, is even nicer due to the fact that so many people have Glocks. So you don't have to necessarily, if you like the PC carbine, you don't necessarily have to buy a Ruger pistol. If you've got a Glock 9mm pistol, you can adapt your mags to fit that PC carbine. So check it out. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Take a look at the picture there. Then give ANC Firearms a call at 254-983-4417. Or go there in person in Heidenhammer, pick it up. And if they run out, they can get more. Just give them a call, tell them you heard on the show, and support the people who support the show. So, Trey, let's take us out on a break. And when we come back, we're going to be going over a whole bunch of stuff. An article I thought was pretty interesting that goes to a lot of different points and what we're talking about. So we'll see you on the other side. Inside of
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome back, everybody. It's Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program, May 19th, 2018. And I don't have a guest today. I saw an article here, detecting a concealed weapon. And, you know, I was thinking about it. I'm always talking about how to conceal a weapon, but I never really talk about how to detect if somebody else has got a weapon. Although I do it all the time, I just never really thought about discussing it. So when I saw this article, I thought, you know, this is another great aspect of self-defense, and that is monitoring your situation, which I do all the time. I mean, if I go to a restaurant, put my back against the wall, know my exits, know who's in there, look for any suspicious people, so on and so forth. You know, some people say you're paranoid. No. Paranoid's when you don't know, or it's fake and it's not real. It's real out there, so I do know. And I'm not paranoid, I'm prepared. There's a big difference. So what I wanted to do, I saw this article and I'm going to read the first two or three long paragraphs and then I'm going to just dissect it on methods. It gives you a concept idea of what you should think about, and then we're going to break down to the certain points actually of what to look for if somebody's got a concealed weapon. And they did a pretty thorough job here, and I'm sure there's a few other things we could talk about, but I'm just going to stick with the article for now. And Trey, you just interject when you feel free. This one's called, this was from, where did I get this from? I don't know where I got this from. Oh, I got it from survivalsullivan.com, detecting a concealed weapon. So let me start out by this. Around the U.S. and the world, people carry guns. If they are not working in an overt context, whether legal or not, they will endeavor to conceal the gun, usually a handgun. They could be another armed. There could be another armed citizen going about their day, possibly like you, an off-duty or undercover police officer, or a criminal scumbag or gang member keeping his tools of the trade in a ready condition. Whoever you might be, consider learning the sometimes subtle tells that indicate the presence of a concealed weapon as part of a parcel of enhancing your situational awareness. You will not always be able to discern the presence of a weapon, especially a knife, but you often can with enough practice. Discerning the presence of a weapon is one thing. Discerning someone's intent is another. However, in conjunction with certain behavioral and social cues, the fact alone that a certain character is unarmed may be enough of a reason to vacate the area. Or at least give them a wide berth. In this introductory article, I will explain the different types of signals or cues that may indicate the presence of a weapon, as well as additional considerations you may wish to incorporate into your own carry practices to reduce your profile. Indicators. The symptoms that point to a weapon. Indicators are simply signs that point to a likely presence of a weapon. Indicators come in two broad varieties, behavioral indicators and present indicators. Behavioral indicators are things that the person does because they are carrying a weapon. This could be something done to the weapon itself or because of psychological stress or worry by the carrier over it. Presence indicators are from the weapon itself. These are things like bulges, printing or sagging of clothing, or abrasion characteristics of carrying a weapon in the same location consistently. In detail, the most common indicators in both categories in this next section, we're going to break them down. Indicators can run the gradient from very subtle tells of physical tics, like a subtle shift in a garment, to blatant neon billboard obvious displays like the gun or knife being revealed after concealment garment failure. Many times, one or two subtle indicators alone will not be enough to say for certain someone is concealing a weapon, but in conjunction with analysis of their attitude and setting, it may be enough for you to make a determination that they are a probable carrier. Let's understanding fundamentals of concealment. Concealment can be achieved in a variety of ways, both on and off the body, but for our purposes in this article, we will look at the prime factors that help dictate an individual's placement of a weapon on their body. The very first is which hand they use. Their handedness or dominant hand. It is an extremely high probability that any given person will use their dominant hand to both acquire and employ a weapon. An easy assumption will be right hand. It will be the right hand, as most earth dwellers are. But as with all things, we should not assume, even on a safe one. Watch their hands. Which one are they holding their phone with? Which side do they keep their wallet on if in a store? Or eat with in an eatery? A less reliable tell is a wristwatch, as they are often worn opposite the master hand. Now, if you're looking at me, you're screwed because I got a band on each wrist. Once you have made that determination, that will inform the likely location of the weapon on their body if carried on the body. Right-handed gun carriers will likely carry somewhere on the right hemisphere of the belt line between the 12:30 and 6 o'clock in a right side pocket in their pants or jacket, under the left armpit, in a shoulder holster, or on the left ankle, if in an ankle holster. Now, of course, you reverse that if you're a lefty. Now, he talks about knives, but I'm not going to get into the knives. Let's talk about behavioral indicators. Behavioral indicators are comprised of tells, body language, things done to the weapon or because the weapon is carried. You will often see these when the weapon in question is a gun. This may take the form of altered movement patterns, shielding the location of a weapon from the frontal notice of bystanders, or reflexively nervous pats or pulls to ensure the gun remains in place, be it in a holster, stuffed in a pocket, or tucked in a waistband. Below are the common behavioral indicators, the block. Now, I see these all the time, but, you know, it's funny. When the guy put the name on, I was just like, oh, yeah, the block. Makes total sense. A person carrying a weapon that is self-conscious about it, either from inexperience or nervousness, will often try to keep their body between an oncoming observer. This takes the form of a curious rotation, either of the torso or the whole body in place to block the weapon's location from a direct line of sight. Can you all picture that? The next one would be the pat. Again, symptomatic of a new nervous carrier, even old professional carriers will fall victim to this inadvertently or by necessity after the weapon or garment has been bumped or disturbed. This indicator takes the form of exactly what it says on the header, a hand patting or brushing the location of the weapon to confirm either its continued presence, concealment status, or simply for mental reassurance. Then we have the swerve. The swerve here would be people that carry a weapon on their hip will often develop a movement quirk when in close quarters to people or objects on the side the weapon is carried on. Due to the fact that the weapon, especially a gun, again, increases the width of the hips, most carriers will invariably go through a period where the weapon will smack into people, countertops, door frames, and the like with a loud clunk or a clang until they learn to account for its for this instance. Okay, now the adjuster, and I see this one a lot. The adjuster, often seen when someone is carrying a gun, even light guns are heavy and usually uncomfortable. Adding insult to injury, unless carried holstered on a good gun belt, they have an aggravating tendency to slide, shift, rotate, and flop in pockets or waistbands. You'll see the carrier reach for the gun, adjust it to or fro to reposition it in order to increase comfort and security. Here's an interesting one. A clipped stride. This one can be subtle. Expect to see someone carrying a gun or a large knife on belt line or ankle show a somewhat shorter stride in the side that they have the weapon, i.e. a right-handed carrier with the weapon located accordingly will not step as far with their right leg compared to the left leg and typically not swing their right arm as far as they would the left arm. This is much easier to notice if someone is walking perpendicular to you. The clamp. I am guilty of the clamp. The clamp happens when running, clamoring, or doing anything that may lead the weapon coming out of pocket, sheath, or holster, or the carrier anticipates that this may occur. You'll see them actually acquire a grip on the weapon, usually through the clothing, to hold it in place. This is done to secure the weapon against the drop, discussed later on in presence indicators. Spoiler warning, it's exactly what it sounds like. Reluctance to bend over. How many, ladies and gentlemen, this is me speaking. How many people do you know have good posture? Not too many. But you'll notice somebody who's carrying a gun gets better posture. So reluctance to bend over. Commonly seen when a carrier has a gun on the belt line between the hip and the 6 o'clock. They will not bend over when standing to pick up a dropped item or anything low to the ground, as doing so will allow most garments to shift or stretch, thus revealing the gun to the eye or by severe printing. Watch for them to take a knee or squat instead. Unwilling to remove concealing garment. In a setting when a garment like a coat, jacket, or similar would be removed, either for wear, comfort, or social etiquette, any refusal to do so is suspicious and indicative of a weapon either concealed at the waist, under the arm, or within the garment itself. Now we have presence indicators. Presence indicators are signs of or cues of the weapon itself. Present indicators are mostly visual but can be auditory. They will usually take the form of a disturbance, failure, or anomaly in the way the garment looks or behaves on the body, but could also be spotting a piece of support equipment like a loop or a strut on a holster, or obvious pocket clips of a folding knife. More subtle, well-worn signs of otherwise pristine clothing. The tracks are obvious tells that the individual is a habitual carrier and you can bet that they have the weapon on them. Unusual wear. If you carry a pocket knife with a clip regularly, take a look down at the pocket you carry it in. Notice anything? See that little patch of frayed fabric and loose stitching? That's our snitch, an indicator, even if you don't have the knife in place. Same applies for the guns. They'll create unusual, well-defined wear marks on belts and waistbands of pants, as well as nibbling little pinholes in the concealing shirts or jackets. With a good eye, these wear indicators are easily spotted. The clunk. We talked about this earlier. My favorite and the one I'm most alert for in public settings like a restaurant. Anyone who carries a gun but sometimes a larger knife or behind the hip who sits down or leans against a hard surface will create a loud distinctive clunk sound when their weapon contacts the surface they're sitting on. Keep your ears open next time you are at a restaurant and you'll hear this at least once. Once you notice this, you'll start hearing it everywhere. Chances are you're doing it yourself if you carry a pistol. Don't be that guy or gal. Now, to finish up here, don't mind me. The dead drop, the field goal, the oh my gosh. If this occurs in a public setting, the jig is up and someone typically needs to leave the premises. This will occur under a few different sets of circumstances, and this assumes the weapon was not in someone's hand. Something snags the weapon and plucks it from the body. It tumbles on the floor. The weapon was poorly secured, usually in the waistband with no holster or sheath, and it works free under movement, falling to the floor. The weapon hits the ground at the bathroom stall because the carrier is pulling their pants up or down or removing an upper garment, dislodging the gun. Don't laugh. It's shockingly common. Pray it does not happen to you. If this happens, the carrier is usually mortified, and if a good guy, will promptly apologize and head for the exit. Now, fanny packs, luggage indicators. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're wearing a fanny pack, ladies can get away with this probably. But guys, if you're wearing a fanny pack, it's got a neon sign that reads gun. So, in my humble opinion, scrap the fanny pack. Positive confirmation. Now that you know what seasoned professionals, experienced bad guys, and clever civilian carriers look for, you can reverse engineer your approach to ensure you right conditions if you pay attention. Conversely, a skilled carrier with an easy to conceal weapon can keep it hidden until it's deployed at speed. Improving your skills at weapon detection is just another component of situational awareness to increase your chances of identifying an attacker before they strike, or keep tabs on who else is in the room may respond to a criminal act. You can practice these skills anytime you're in around strangers in a public setting, and also use them to sharpen your friends, partners, and your own concealment methodology. I thought that was a very interesting article. Trey, there was so much into that article. And a lot of people, they carry guns, but they don't take into consideration, or they consider, hey, I need to conceal it, but they don't consider the signs that may show people.
I'm actually fix this here.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised this is the first time you've covered that. You know?
I know, right? I'm always talking about concealing it, where to conceal it, but not to eyeball it.
But, I mean, as part of the training and the your pot and all that, I would figure that would be one of the things. Do you teach that in your courses?
Well, actually, I make a comment of it in the class. I tell everybody when they come in the class, as you walk in the door, I'm observing you. I'm watching your personalities. I watch how you dress. I look for weapons. So I mention it, but I don't go into detail about it, which I should probably start doing.
Yeah, that seems like, as far as perception of threat goes, you want to know there's a threat there. Helps know if they're armed.
That's right. Now, I mean, if you got a long trench coat and it's hot out, and the guy's hands is in his pockets, or the woman's hands in the pockets, you could say, you know, there's something weird about that. And I do that, too. We do body language. Body language is a key thing for me. I can tell a lot of things, because body language, I don't have to hear. I can look at a certain distance and see the body language and kind of get an idea.
And it's very hard to get body language to lie. That's whereas right. People lie with their mouths all the time.
And so, I don't know if you probably know this because you're savvy, but if you want to cover something up, it ends up sprouting out somewhere else. So if you're like normally your finger tapper and you're going to hide that, all of a sudden your foot's going to start tapping.
In poker, they call it tells.
Yeah, tells. All right. Well, that was a good article. I thought it was pretty good. I'm glad I shared it with you. Got any questions, give us a call. 254-697-6633. Trey, let's take a break. When we come back, we will have Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, doing something to me to teach y'all. So we'll see you on the other side.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program, May 19, 2018. And once again, we have the awesome, incredible Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Welcome again, Ms. Key. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. We're going to talk about the difference between your steps that you need to take to either get to an attacker or make distance to get away from an attacker. And if we're standing here and he wants to do something, I can touch anywhere on him I need to touch.
We're standing face to face, basically within an arm's length. You'll see this on video too.
Yes, it's arm's length, and I can put my hand on his chest. But if I step away to where he can still reach me because he's a little bit longer armed and taller than I am. But I'm too far away to reach him. So if he is pulling a knife, pulling a gun or something, and I need to stop him before he gets there, then I have to go towards him. So I would have to take a little step. It's just a little, I call it a scoot step. It's about the length of your foot, about a foot or less. That's called a scoot, where I just scoot in and then I can attack. I have my knee, my hands are where I can reach him. If I'm really far away, I have two choices here. It depends on what I think he's going to do, or if he's already been bothering me and I don't think he's going to stop, then my choice would be different than if I think I can run faster than him, basically. But if I don't think I can outrun him, then I have to make a choice in karate. And one of my karate teachers said the best defense is a really good offense.
Right.
So I would choose to come at him. But here I'm too far up. My legs don't even reach him. I'd have to do a step in, and depending on which kick I want to do, I would probably choose a side kick, because I would hit with my heel and that does more damage than the ball of my foot would. But it would also, I'm also, when I do a side kick here, I'm set up to run. So I hit him, and if he pushes on me, let's say I don't get it, my knee's going to automatically bend where I can take a step away, and I can just start running at that point.
That's good video. You need to check that out.
So if I'm facing him and I don't have time to turn my hip, then I would just do a scoot back instead of a scoot forward.
A little better.
I would do a scoot back like this, and I might just come up with a front kick and then come in with some hands and elbows. So that's just kind of closing your distance and figuring out how close he is to you for the attack. And I know it's the same for guns, right? Depending on if they're close to you or 10, 20 feet away. It would
big difference.
It just depends on how you would move.
Tactics are all different depending on
the distance. Yeah, it just depends. And he talked about it earlier is watching body language on people. So right now he doesn't look like a threat to me, but I'm watching him and I get a mean look. And Okay, here we go. I already know something's up. He's already getting upset about something. So you need to pay attention to how people react. His hands are coming up. I'm already going to be backing up, going, putting my hands here where I can come, where he can...
fast, man, fast. Speed.
Yeah. Technique first. Technique first. So practice these techniques. And get where you have good balance when you move, because if you don't have balance, you're going to lose everything.
You know, Ms. Key, it's not only speed, it's force. It's not like you're timid. You're in there and you're meant to do something, because I can feel your force on me, not just the speed, too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You have to have a willingness to defend yourself, because it doesn't matter how good your techniques are. I've been in the ring with women that were really, really good, but I kia really loud and they weren't used to that, and it would the loud noise would interrupt their train of thought and just mess them up, and then I have the advantage.
Well, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and what kind of class you got or whatever. Yeah. We got about 20
seconds. Well, we have summer classes. I have a new student special, which is $99 for 2 months of class. And I'm only accepting 10, and I think I've got 4 or 5 signed up already. So if you want your kids to learn some self-defense over the summer, then come on. We're also doing a world championship in August, so they could compete at that.
As always, Ms. Keith, thank you very much. Until next week, everybody, keep your powder dry, and God bless.
It's CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Quicken Loans.
I'm Bill Rakoff. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are attending receptions after their marriage earlier today at Windsor Castle.
Harry, will you take Meghan to be your wife?
I will.
The hundreds inside laughing at crowds outside St. George's Chapel who were cheering the prince on. That service was a mix of British tradition and some American touches. CBS's Steve Futterman reports from Windsor Castle.
There were many traditional moments, but I think the one moment that many people will remember was a very untraditional moment. That's when the American Bishop Michael Curry delivered a fiery